Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. MRT becomes a new culture of transportation in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo announces MotoGP in Lombok will be held in 2021. Bank Indonesia encourages domestic demand to maintain economic growth. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the first phase of Mass Rapid Transit, or MRT, at the Hotel Indonesia Roundabout Jakarta. On the occasion, he said this inauguration was a new chapter in the development of community culture in transportation in Indonesia, especially in Jakarta. The president also said the inauguration of the first phase will soon be followed by the second phase of construction so that the MRT line can be integrated.
Budaya baru yang ingin terus kita kenalkan, kita sosialisasikan. Ini adalah peradaban baru.
This is a new culture that we want to continue to introduce and socialize. This is a new civilization. We must be sure we can change society from old culture to new culture. First is to queue if you want to board the MRT. Second is do not litter at the MRT station or inside the MRT. The last is discipline on time. If these are not acculturated, it's useless to have an MRT. We have to take care of the MRT that we have. Then we will continue the phase to the north or to the second phase and parallel later with the east and west, which will we also do. President Joko Widodo further said that the integration of land transportation modes in the city of Jakarta is expected to be realized in the next 10 years. According to him, the government has prepared the necessary budget, including for special planning, settlement, and drainage in Jakarta. Indonesian President Joko Widodo mentioned a number of homeworks that must be done by the government before hosting the MotoGP event in Mandalika, West Nusa Tenggara. They include preparing the infrastructure from and to the Mandalika area.
MotoGP di Lombok sudah fix ya, sudah ditandatangani.
The MOU of MotoGP in Lombok has already been signed, so in 2021, the event will be held. But first, we still have three works to be done. First is repairing the port here, the second building the road from the airport to Mandalika, and the third, extending the airport runway. This is the job of the Minister of Public Works and the Minister of Transportation. I have ordered it to start this year, and God willing, will be finished next year. It was planned Indonesian MotoGP 2021 will use the concept of a street circuit. The circuit will be combined with Mandalika's natural beauty, which will ensure the Indonesian MotoGP series is different from others. Bank Indonesia, or Indonesian Central Bank, focuses in boosting domestic demand to maintain the momentum of economic growth considering the global economy, which is predicted to slow down. Deputy Director of the Department of Economic and Monetary Policy of Bank Indonesia, EGP Wirakusuma, in Yogyakarta on Saturday, March the 23rd, said that Bank Indonesia would focus on strengthening external stability to boost domestic demand. External stability also made the central bank maintain the benchmark interest rate at this month's Board of Governors meeting. Wirakusuma added that the global economic outlook would slow down this year. The economic slowdown also made developed country central banks to take a dovish steps related to the interest rate policies. Director General of Small, Medium and Various Industries of the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawa Ningsi, said that up to now, 22 Islamic boarding schools with more than 3,000 students have been given production training as well as entrepreneurial motivation. The scope of guidance includes training in the production and assistance in the form of machinery or equipment in the fields of food and beverage processing like bread and coffee, waste recycling and production of liquid organic fertilizer and many others. Gati Wibawa Ningsi, through her statement in Jakarta on Saturday, said that based on the Ministry of Religion census in 2014-2015, the number of Islamic boarding schools in Indonesia was estimated at almost 27,000 spread throughout the province with a total of more than 4 million students. 1,500 runners from Indonesia and abroad participated in the Super League Triathlon 2019 competition in the Nusa Dua International Tourist Area, Bali on Saturday. The event was packaged with the concept of sport tourism so that it indirectly contributed positively to the progress of tourism and the economic added value of multi-event activity chain. Vice President Director of one of the private banks, Arman Wahyudi Hartono, said his party as the sponsor fully supports the activity. 1,500 participants were recorded in various types of sports competitions held for 2 days until Sunday. He said besides participants from Indonesia, there were also those from a number of countries, including Australia, Canada, the UK and France. Arman Wahyudi Hartono said the implementation of the Super League Triathlon 2019 in Indonesia was an effort to optimize tourism potential in the country. The Indonesian Army Commander Marshal Hadi Cahyanto said the spread of hoax and provocative news could endanger national stability. He said technological progress that is not accompanied by the maturity of its users would be dangerous. Hadi Cahyanto, in a written statement, as quoted by republika.co.id on Saturday, said the Indonesian people have the ability to achieve the superiority in information technology. The number of unicorns that emerged and succeeded in exploiting technology and growing rapidly, according to him, all came from the community. Various services developed by the community utilize the internet platform. Hadi added, technological advances must be recognized very rapidly and should be anticipated. Therefore, it needed the attention and cooperation among all components of the nation to suppress the paradox of technological progress and maximize the positive sides of its utilization. He did not want Indonesia to be torn apart by conflicts like other countries. Last item, Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi inaugurated Naras Railway Station Pariaman West Sumatra on Saturday. This station was reactivated after decades of inactivity since 2015. The reactivation process has cost 52 billion rupiah. In an official statement received by Republika on Saturday, the Ministry of Transportation stated it will systematically continue to develop transportation integration in West Sumatra. The minister explained that 52 billion rupiah budget was used to build infrastructure, including 7 kilometers of track using concrete pads. He said Indonesia is a country consisting of many islands, many provinces, and many cities must be united through connectivity. To end the news, here are the main points once again. MRT becomes a new culture of transportation in Indonesia. President Joko Widodo announces MotoGP in Lombok is held in 2021. Bank Indonesia encourages domestic demand to maintain economic growth. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Indonesia to the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
This week's spotlight is on Indonesia ready to go to WTO considering boycott. The Indonesian government brings the dynamics of the issue of oil palm with the European Union to the World Trade Organization, WTO. The government is also considering boycotting European Union products such as four-wheeled vehicles and airplanes. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Darmin Nasution, said this in Jakarta on Wednesday, March the 20th. Coordinated by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, last Wednesday, the government held a gathering with the media on the topic of European Union discrimination on oil palm. Darmin was accompanied by Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan and Deputy Foreign Minister A.M. Fakhir. The government also invited representatives from European Union companies operating in Indonesia. Darmin Nasution said that Indonesia was disappointed that the European Union was considered to have overprotected its vegetable oil commodities produced from sunflower seeds and grape seeds. On March 13, 2019, the European Commission, as an exclusive organ of the European Union, issued a delegated act from Renewable Energy Directives, or RED II. The RED II document includes, among other things, not recommending crude palm oil, or CPO, as biofuels in the European Union region. The document has the potential to classify CPO in food crop groups as a high risk of indirect land conversion, which results in restrictions on its use. Indonesian CPO exports are also threatened. Meanwhile, Maritime Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated that the European Union acted discriminatively against oil-producing countries, including Indonesia. That, according to Luhut, is truly unfair for Indonesia and at least 20 million Indonesian citizens who earn income directly and indirectly from the oil palm industry. The palm oil industry contributes up to 3.5% of Indonesia's gross domestic product. He emphasized that the government would act to protect the Indonesian palm oil industry. The permanent representative of the Republic of Indonesia to the United Nations, WTO, and other international organizations in Geneva, Switzerland, Hassam Klaib, stated Indonesia had brought the oil palm issue to WTO under the Technical Barrier to Trade Committee under the Specific Trade Concern Agenda. A country can convey the specific trade concern to other countries' trade policies. On the other hand, the European Union ambassador to Indonesia, Vincent Guerang, stated that Indonesia's steps to bring RED II documents to the WTO were appropriate for resolving trade disputes. That was Spotlight of the Week from Indonesia to the World. Today in history, we'll begin with March the 24th, World Tuberculosis Day. World Tuberculosis Day, commemorated every March the 24th, is aimed at building general awareness about the tuberculosis and efforts to reduce the spread of the epidemic. March the 24th, 1882, was the date on which Dr. Robert Koch, a scientist, announced that he had found the cause of tuberculosis, namely Mycobacterium tuberculosis. At that time, this outbreak was spreading in Europe and America, which caused the death of 1 in 7 people. To commemorate his services, March the 24th is designated as the Day of Worldwide Tuberculosis. Turning to March the 24th, 1946, the Bandung Ocean of Fire incident. March the 24th, 1946, residents of Bandung City were willing to sacrifice their property, soul, and body for their homeland, Indonesia. They let their houses to be burned down so as not to be controlled by the Dutch colonialists. Every year, the incident known as the Bandung Ocean of Fire and the burning to the ground was proposed by Rukana, then military police commander in Bandung, and agreed by Colonel Nasution, who instructed the people to leave Bandung immediately. At that time, the people sought refuge in various regions such as Soreang, Cicalengka, Pengalengan, and others by carrying makeshift items. I'll end with March the 24th, 2015, Germanwings flight 9525 airplane accident. Germanwings flight 9525 is a scheduled international passenger flight from Barcelona El Prat International Airport, Spain, to Dusseldorf International Airport. On March the 24th, 2015, the plane crashed in the French Alps. All 144 passengers and 6 cabin crew were killed. This accident was the third worst Airbus A320 accident after Hamlin Has Air Asia Flight 3054 and Indonesia Air Asia Flight 8501. That was today in history from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Listener's Mailbag. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. We would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Deba Kamal Hazarika in India. He was listening to our segment Listener's Mailbag through frequency 3325 kHz at 1343 UTC on March 17, 2019, and the SIN poll was 43343. In his email, he wrote that he was very pleased in listening to today's program, which played some wonderful Indonesian songs. His dream is to visit Indonesia. He hoped his dreams will come true this year. Hello, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika. Thank you for your attention on our broadcast. How are you today? We hope you are listening to this segment today. I wish your dreams come true. Please do not forget, come to our office on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5. While Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika, we are waiting for your visit to our office, Voice of Indonesia in Central Jakarta. Special for you, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Money
Voice of Indonesia.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesiaku today is on water polo targets gold SEA Games 2019. The Indonesian water polo men's national team in this week underwent a match training session against the Japanese team at the Bung Karno Aquatic Stadium, Senayan, Jakarta. This program is a preparation for the 2019 Philippine SEA Games. The official test against the Japanese team took place twice, namely on Tuesday, March the 19th and Thursday, March the 21st. The coach of the Indonesian water polo national team, Milo Stakovic, on Tuesday revealed the arrival of the men's water polo team of Tsukuba University, Japan, was a good opportunity to train ahead of the 2019 SEA Games. In this training, the national team was not reinforced by four core players because two players were playing in the Serbian League while the other two are still recovering from injury. Milo Stakovic said the playing style of the Indonesian men's water polo national team is getting more and more confident to target the 2019 SEA Games or Southeast Asian Games gold medal in the Philippines. He said the Indonesian men's water polo team at the 2017 SEA Games failed to win a gold medal and had to settle for silver after playing a draw against Singapore and lost due to the total goal difference. Meanwhile, Deputy Chairperson of the All Indonesian Swimming Committee, Harlin Raharjo, said the presence of the Japanese team was a good opportunity for the Indonesian national team to share knowledge and experiences regarding water polo. He also tried to provide more opportunities for the Indonesian national team to do training with other teams from abroad. In addition, the Indonesian water polo national team also has plans to leave for Serbia to train in the country, which has become the world's water polo mecca this year. Currently, two Indonesian men's water polo players, Reza Auditya Putra and Rizky Mulya, have since departed for Serbia in January to play in the water polo league in the country. That was My Indonesia Today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Indonesia to the World.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we will reply an email from a letter from Antonio Argolo Silva Neto in Brazil. In his email, Mr. Antonio Argolo Silva Neto said that he listened to VOI programming on the internet and considered that the content is excellent and very interesting for a listener in knowing a distant country. Hello, Mr. Antonio Argolo Silva Neto. Thank you for your compliment on our broadcast, and we are really sorry for your inconvenience. We have told to Spanish Desk to reply your email as soon as possible. Hopefully, you will continuously listen to our broadcast and please send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you.
Apabila disentuh tak lama pun ku jatuh di dalam keramaian suasana.
Voice of Indonesia.
RRI was office Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today I will invite you to travel to Kuningan district in the province of West Java to taste the typical culinary of the small town. Because of its location, which borders with Cirebon, even with Central Jawa, the people there are also varied from their culture, language, customs, and also food. This time, I will introduce one of the culinary highlights of the city of Kuningan called Hucap. For Kuningan residents, is one of the menus for breakfast. In Kuningan districts, there are lots of Hucap sellers, so you will have no trouble when looking for breakfast. Besides being sold around, near the center of the city, there are also many Hucap stalls, which are always crowded with buyers, especially at breakfast time. These Hucap warung or stalls are open at 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. But now not only for breakfast, but sometimes it also for lunch and even dinner. So many Hucap stalls are open from 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Hucap itself stands for tahu or tofu and ketchup or soy sauce. As the name implies, this culinary indeed consists of a mixture of tahu and ketchup or tofu and soy sauce. Ketupat are poured with savory delicious peanut sauce. The secret of the taste is indeed on the peanut sauce, which is made from a mixture of mashed fried peanuts, red chilies, Jawa or brown sugar, salt and flavoring mixed with into one. The ketupat or rice cake is boiled with hot water so that the skin is brown and of course it tastes even better. The main ingredients of Hucap is typical Kuningan savory tofu. For the presentation, this tofu must be fried instantly and served while still hot. Musik, Jawa Barat. For serving a plate of Hucap, the ketupat is first opened from its wrapping from coconut leaf, then split and cut into pieces and place it on a plate. Then fried tofu is also cut and placed on top, then pour the sauce or peanut sauce as needed and add soy sauce to taste. After that, sprinkled with fried onion on top. In addition, you can also add fish crackers or bakwan, which are usually provided on the table of the Hucap seller stores. For a plate and a glass of fresh tea, you can simply pay around 12,000 to 15,000, which is $1 or more or less. If you are on vacation in the province of West Java, especially Cirebon, take time to try this Hucap culinary. Besides its delicious taste, it can make you full until lunchtime. The price is pretty cheap, isn't it? That was my Indonesia Today. We'll meet again tomorrow, of course, with more interesting topics. This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Rakesh Rao in India. He was listening to our English program through website www.voinews.id. In his email, he told that he has received our QSL card. He likes our programs. Hello, Mr. Rakesh Rao. Thank you very much for compliment on our broadcast. I am glad because you have received our QSL card. I hope you always keep listening to our broadcast every day. Please send your reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. For you, Mr. Rakesh Rao, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Yang ku lalui.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Miscellany. An Indonesian painter, M.S. Untung, attended the International Art Symposium in Jordan and presented a number of his works, such as the one themed The Rooster Which Always Wins in Fight, Eventually Becomes Fried Chicken Only. It was one of the most eccentric paintings at the symposium. According to Jerry, another Indonesian contemporary painters, aesthetic value is no longer the main guide in work, but rather how the painting can elevate values or moralistic questions. The works of the two Indonesian painters stole the attention at the symposium compared to the majority of other participating painters who were generally still modernist. They also had the opportunity to exchange experiences with artists from various countries during the workshop session while exhibiting their works in two sessions held at the beginning and the end of the symposium. A number of Jordanian art figures expressed their appreciation and admiration for the work of the two Indonesian painters, who were seen as unique and brought new colors to the development of art in the Middle East. This was conveyed, among other things, by an observers or art observer who were also a Jordanian archaeologist, Sarifa Nova bint Nasser. The International Art Symposium is an international activity organized by Amon Art, one of the leading art organizations in Jordan, attended by more than 40 professional artists and art experts from 12 countries, including Japan, Russia, Romania, Lithuania, and Indonesia. As quoted by the chairperson of Safa'a El Sharif Amon Art Association, this international symposium was expected to be a forum for artists to enrich artistic expression through the exploration of cultural values from other countries, especially Jordan. Meanwhile, the Indonesian ambassador to Jordan, Andi Rahmianto, said that the Indonesian embassy in Amman fully supported the participation of Indonesian artists in the art exhibition or symposium in Jordan. According to the ambassador, the presence of Indonesian artists in Jordan is an important step in an effort to encourage interaction and mutual understanding in arts and culture between the two countries. This, in the end, will encourage increased relations between Jordan and Indonesia in the future. The participation of the two Indonesian artists was expected to fill the strengthening of Indonesia-Jordan bilateral relations, especially towards the 70th anniversary of the diplomatic relations between the two countries. Well, that was Miscellany for today. We will meet again with other interesting topics soon. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, before we end our listener's mailbag, we inform you that we have a new program on RRNet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 20:00 hours to 20:30 hours, West Indonesia time. or 1300 hours to 1330 hours UTC. This program enables you not only listen, but also watch our program just like watching TV. And this is how to access VOI English News Service via RRI Play. First, download RRI Play mobile application from Google Play. Open RRI Play application and choose RRI Net, and you can enjoy our program. Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, 4 and 5 Jakarta, 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.